This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us, and it's good to be back. If this is the first podcast you're listening to, the next couple of minutes aren't going to make any sense, but if you have been around the Kona Edge for a while, you may have noticed, and I did get lots of messages on social media and via email, people asking what's going on, and you may have listened to the last update that I put out halfway through the month as to what has happened here at the Kona Edge. And just to give you the abridged version, and where we are right now going forward. This is the first sort of regular programming podcast we've had in just about a month, and I've had quite a hectic month, if I have to be honest. It's been coming for a while. It's probably the last 6 to 8 months that this has been building up, but it all came to a head at the end of March. And unfortunately, my work situation has changed dramatically. I've taken a huge knock in income from my regular day job, and this podcast is something I do for fun and something I love doing. I did set a goal at the beginning of the year that I'd like to turn it into more of a full-time business, and that is most certainly my plan, because quite frankly, I don't have a choice. If I want to pay bills and be able to feed my family, I have to. So you may or may not know, I come from a radio background. I've been in traditional radio for the last 20 years, and I've hosted various shows on various radio stations. Up until the end of last month, I was hosting a daily sports show on a national talk station here in South Africa, and I was literally given 3 hours notice, believe it or not, and I don't want to knock my employer. But yeah, that's just really not how you deal with people. But nonetheless, I'm focusing on the positive. I'm done fighting, and it's time to move forward. So that's my plan. I have been redeployed, as they say, in the business. And like I said, took a massive knock in salary. And as it stands right now, I can't actually make ends meet. So in the last month, we've had to move house, to downsize and put some things in place in order to try and cover costs and that sort of thing. I love the Kona Edge. It keeps me sane from all the other stuff that I do. And I really want to continue doing it for as long as I can. So my main mission at the moment is obviously to try and turn this into a business, and I'm going to put it out there. If you own a business in the triathlon space, or if you'd like to get in front of a massive, engaged triathlon community, please pop me a mail. We've got some exciting advertising options here on the Kona Edge and across all our platforms. So on social media, we've got a fairly sizable email database as well, and you can pop me a mail, brad@thekonaedge.com. Let's chat and let's see how we can get your brands exposed to literally thousands of triathletes every month. We get over 100,000 downloads of this podcast alone on a monthly basis. So please pop me a mail, brad@thekonaedge.com. There are going to be some changes to the podcast as well. I'm not going to tell you all about those right now because, quite frankly, I don't know what they are, but we need something to happen, and I'm working hard to make it so. Normal programming does resume today, and we get back to what you're here for, and that's to listen to age groupers who have qualified and have raced on the Big Island of Kona and what they've done to get there. So that's exactly what this podcast is all about and what it'll always be about. So I'm going to be sending you more and more stories down this feed. I'm going to try and keep it going 5 days a week as I have from the start. And fingers crossed, I can get things in place that can not only fund the podcast, but can fund my life and my wife and kids as well. So that's the plan. If you have any ideas, I'm always open to them. Brad@thekonaedge.com is my email address. I'd love to hear from you. And enough of me waffling. I will fill you in as the days and weeks progress as to our progress. But I'd love you to be on board with this. And one of the ways, if you don't own a business, or if you just like to see us succeed, one of the ways you can help is by sharing this podcast with people you know who are into the sport of triathlon. The biggest way we grow is word of mouth, and that's the way we've continued to grow over the last couple of years. So if you love the podcast and you're glad that it's back, please share it on social media. Tell your triathlon mates about it. It really does help us grow, and hopefully that'll help the business model going forward as well. So enough of me yakking. Let's get into today's guest. Today's coach in the spotlight is Coach Stephen Brands, and Next Level Triathlon. They've proved their results year after year. Steve has personally guided athletes to an ITU Age Group World Championship, Ironman Hawaii, and has qualified over 20 athletes to the 70.3 World Championships. Steve isn't your traditional multi-sport coach. He's a full-time endurance coach who works with athletes remotely as well as athletes in a DTE in Madison, Wisconsin. Steve is also one of a few coaches in the USAT High Performance Mentorship Coaching Program, where he gets to work with the select high performance athletes in the USAT CRP program. In 2015, Steve was selected to run a week-long Cam Tri Camp in Trinidad and Grenada, where he was responsible for working with their top athletes as well as educating their coaches on proper racing, training, and season preparation. Some of Steve's athletes have won an ITU Age Group World Championship, won multiple USAT Age Group National Championships, won USAT Duathlon National Championships, podiumed at the 2016 Ironman World Championships, have run sub-3-hour marathon during the Ironman, and qualified athletes to Ironman and 70.3 World Championships. If you'd like to find out more about Steve and Next Level Triathlon, all you need to do is head over to theconaedge.com/coaching or click through to nextleveltriathlon.org. All the details on that website. Okay, that's theconaedge.com/coaching. And if you are a coach or have a coaching business and you'd like to be featured here on the Kona Edge, all you need to do is head over to that exact webpage. It's theconaedge.com/coaching. Well, we head to Peterborough in the United Kingdom now to catch up with our next guest here on the Kona Edge, Paul Land. Paul, welcome onto the podcast. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Brad. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Paul, I love chatting to before we started recording, I sort of gave you a bit of a run through what we're going to do, and you said to me, I've been listening to the podcast for years now. So I love chatting to people who listen to the podcast. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great. You know, you pick up lots of different things from different people, and it's been great over the last couple of years.
It's quite weird because I do these things and I don't realize, like, physically that there are people on the other end. And I know that I'm talking to an audience, but when it's confirmed like that, it's like, oh, you listen. Why would you listen? That's quite weird. But that's a whole other story. Paul, you raced in Kona last year. It's a few months post now. You back into the swing of things, or are you hanging out on the dark side?
No, I'm pretty much back in the swing of things now. I had sort of 2 or 3 weeks off afterwards, but now sort of it's obviously deep winter here and it's a bit cold. But getting out on the bike and getting the hours in now again, just sort of ticking over through the winter really for the next couple of months.
You've got some big goals as well. You want to go back to the Big Island. It's obviously got into your blood, and the bug has bitten.
Absolutely, yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Last year now. So yeah, the goal for next year would be to try and go back and see if we can go a little bit better.
Brilliant.
But that's the plan.
Where did this triathlon thing start for you? How were you introduced to the sport?
It happened in about, well, I think it was 2008 actually. I had a friend that we used to sort of go skiing and snowboarding with, and he just got into cycling, and he said, "Did you want to go into the Alps for a weekend and do some cycling?" So I said, "Sounds quite good fun." I didn't have a bike, and I hadn't ridden a bike for years, so I went and bought a bike, and we went and had a weekend of cycling in the Alps, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And over the weekend, he mentioned that he was doing a triathlon. So I was the sort of the person that sort of said, "Well, what is a triathlon then? What does that entail?" So he explained, you know, it's a swim and a bike and a run, and I thought, that sounds quite interesting. I wouldn't mind having a go at that. So the following year, we sort of signed up for a race and entered it, just a sort of sprint race. And I went to learn to swim because I couldn't swim, and learned to run again because I hadn't ran since I was at school, and sort of kept the biking up, and we did that in 2009 as a sprint race, and pretty much after that. Pretty addicted, really.
It's so funny that is the statement afterwards. Pretty much after that, addicted. Was it from the start? Did you know this is it? I'm going to be doing this for a while?
I think so. Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, I hadn't done any sport for didn't really do any sport when I was at school, so I haven't really done any sport. And then sort of got into it and found out I actually, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm actually quite competitive, so that also makes it quite addictive. So, it was. It's been a bit of a journey on from there, you know.
Can you remember that first race? Is it still sort of clear in your memory? Can you? I mean, how did it go? Were you pretty good at it from the start, or was it a struggle?
It was pretty good. I entered it with a friend who had introduced me to it, and I think I just beat him actually. So that was the goal, it went okay. I mean, nothing fancy, but we got round and we had fun doing it. So that was it.
Isn't that so much always the case? I think of myself and my brother as well. I don't care where I come in the race as long as it's one spot ahead of him. That's all that matters.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
I love it. And the competitiveness, where did that come from? Have you always been competitive growing up as a kid? Were you competitive?
Not really, no. I don't know where it came from, really. Absolutely no idea, really. But like I said, I didn't really do any sport, so I never really... did anything like that. So to find a sport or three sports that I actually quite enjoy, it's been good for the last sort of 7 or 8 years. Yeah.
When did you realise you were pretty good at this thing?
I don't think I have realised. I don't know. I think you just keep chipping away, don't you? And you just try and keep going a little bit quicker. I don't know, really.
there aren't too, I mean, you've been listening to the podcast, you'll know this, there aren't too many secrets about triathlon, but that is one of them. Just keep chipping away. It's a long-term project. It doesn't happen overnight, and you've got to keep on keeping on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that is, if you listen to a lot of interviews with various people, pros alike, they'll always say the key is consistency. And I think, if you keep chip away at it, for year after year after year, and just stay consistent, eventually you start to see progress, don't you? And if every year you get a little bit quicker, you're probably doing something right. So just keep chipping away at it.
As far as the jump from a sprint to a half Ironman and a full Ironman, that's a massive jump. Tell me when Ironman first got onto the radar and you thought that would be a good idea.
So that first race was 2009, and I think the autumn of that year we went and did an Olympic distance in Barcelona, I believe, which was a big step up from a sprint. And then after that, the following year, 2010, did Wimbleball 70.3, which, if anybody who's done it will know, is a pretty tough race. And I struggled pretty much there, and it's a pretty brutal bike course, and then a lumpy run. And I sort of finished that race, and I thought, there's no way I'm ever racing an Ironman. That's just ridiculous. obviously, straight after that, I entered Ironman Austria for the following year. And so that was 2011. So that was the first that sort of jumped to Ironman, went there and. Had a race with just wanted to get round, really, and I had a bit of a time in mind, and I thought, we could what we could do, and got round that, and thoroughly enjoyed it, actually, even though it was pretty painful, and the wheels sort of fell off on the run, like I think most most people do in the first race, but got round, and then thought, where do we go from here, and that's probably the first time I thought, maybe there is a chance to sort of maybe progress and try and qualify for Kona at some point.
I find that interesting that you chose Austria as your first one, because one thing I've realized, I've never raced in the UK, but I believe there is no such thing as an easy Ironman race in the UK, half or full. You talk about a lumpy run, but they're all pretty tough. There's no easy race in the UK, I believe.
I believe so. I mean, like I say, I did Wimbleball. I've never done another one. We have a race called the Outlaw, which is not a branded race, but that's a pretty quick, fast race. But I've tended to opt for the fast races, really, rather, or the easier races rather than the hilly courses. The hilly courses don't really suit me. I've done Ironman Nice a couple of times, and that's probably about as hilly as it gets for me.
Let's talk about choosing races and choosing the faster, flatter ones. Horses for courses. Why do you enjoy those sorts more than the hilly ones?
I think it just suits my cycling more than anything. I sort of do quite a lot of time trialing, and I'm quite happy in the aero position. So if I can sit there for, you know, 5 hours in the aero position, I'm quite happy doing that, and I can put out the power. So, get to lumpy hilly bits and spiking of power, and that I'm not particularly good. So, I just find, the faster courses, and I just like get it over and done with pretty quick, you know. I did Austria and France, and then I did Mallorca's Ironman, again, which had a bit of a hilly course. And then I thought I'd like to try and go quick. So I then went to Roth and Barcelona to try and get some fast times out. So I've always sort of stayed around the faster courses.
You qualified at Frankfurt last year as well, and I mean, Frankfurt is pretty quick, but the field is stacked. There's lots of slots because it's European Championship as well. But you seem to pick the races to do. I mean, that one's with it being fast, the competition is crazy for the slots.
It is. Yeah. I didn't actually qualify. Well, I did qualify there, but I didn't. I'd already previously qualified at Barcelona the previous year. So my slot rolled down actually at Frankfurt, which I made someone very happy. When I've gone to races, I've never looked at a race thinking, yeah, that's one I could, you know, always easier to qualify than another. I've just gone because I want to do that race. And I like to pick a location, and travel around and do these races rather than think, you know, that's probably going to be easier. Or it would suit me better. It's just where I want to go, really.
As far as what it takes to qualify, is there a secret to it? I mean, in your mind, what are the ingredients that will get someone to Kona?
I think, like I said before, it's just really consistency, and it's just doing the same thing, you know, and just getting it done, really. I mean, I'm not a particularly big volume type of person, but I just do, you know, it day in, day out, and it becomes part of your life and part of your routine, and just keep chipping away, really.
And from a longevity point of view, staying fresh and still enjoying the sport, obviously you've done numerous of these races, and we've spoken about burning out here on the podcast as well. Are you still comfortable and happy, and I mean, you're going to be doing this thing as long as you can?
I don't know, because I came into sort of sport quite late in life. So I was, 38. I'm quite young athletically, if you like. So I'm not that, you know, I've not been doing it for long. Therefore, I'm not bored of it by any stretch of the imagination yet. But I think, again, I think I'll do it for as long as I can keep getting quicker or keep improving. I think as soon as age sort of takes its turn and I start getting slower, I think will be the time I probably hang up my shoes.
As far as the sort of allure to the big islands, I mean, you mentioned you want to go back and go faster. Is it a case, I mean, do you feel like there's unfinished business, or is it a case of you did as well as you could, but you know you can do better?
Yeah, I think I can genuinely think I can go a little bit quicker. I mean, I was only, I think, just under 7 minutes off the win there. So I think I've got to go back just to see if I can find another 7 minutes, because 7 minutes isn't a lot on a, you know, it's a long day out there. And I think there's definitely areas I can improve. So, yeah, I think that's the draw, really, is just to see if I can just get it all together, really. I don't actually think I've thrown an Ironman together yet completely, so I think I'll just keep chipping away until I do, or maybe that might never happen, you know.
That's how they suck you in and keep you in for life, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah, maybe until I run out of money.
Where are those 7 minutes going to come from?
I think I could get a little bit on the swim, and I think I can get a little bit on the run. Yeah, I don't think I can get much more out of my biking, but we'll keep chipping away. But yeah, I think there's a bit more to come on the run, especially. Yeah.
You also mentioned to me before we started recording, you're running London Marathon. I speak to a lot of age groupers here on the podcast that the only marathon they ever run is on the back end of a 180K bike. You're running a standalone marathon. Tell me the thinking there.
Yeah, well, when I entered Austria in 2011, I thought I'd do a marathon, standalone marathon before that, just to do one. So some people do, some people don't, and it's a bit. So I did Brighton Marathon just before that, and thoroughly enjoyed it actually, and enjoy. It keeps me running over the winter really, and the spring, and it just sort of and I enjoy it. And London Marathon, I think I've done it. This will be the fourth year. Thoroughly enjoy it really, and it like I say, it just keeps you running over the winter, and it gives you something to focus on, which I sort of thrive on really.
Yeah, I mean, London Marathon is special, one of the majors. It's thousands and thousands, and you get to run where you wouldn't ordinarily run on the other 364 days of the year.
Absolutely, yeah. That last sort of stretch down the embankment, you sort of run down there, and you think, you know, normally this is absolutely just ran with cars, and it is pretty special to run that course.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about sort of the preparation and the work that goes into it. Are you coached, self-coached?
No, I'm coached. Yeah, I'm coached. Again, after Austria, when I sort of finished, I wasn't coached before Austria, and then when I finished that, and I thought I might actually try and have a crack at this and crack at Kona. I sort of found a coach and was with him for a couple of years, and then he sort of he retired really from age group coaching. So I found another coach and we've been with him since 2013, and we worked quite well together.
What was the decision to find a coach?
I just find it easy to, if someone tells me what to do, I just do it. And I think that's sort of been how I sort of work. I get my routine, and he tells me to jump, and I say how high, and I just tick off the sessions pretty much all the time. I think if I had to do it myself, I probably wouldn't give myself quite such tough sessions sometimes. But I might also overdo it. So he's pretty good. We worked together for quite a while. He pretty much knows what I can handle and what I can cope with, and I fully trust what he does. So it just takes any thought process out of it for me, and I can get on with the rest of my life, really. You know, work and family commitments without having to worry about what I'm doing, really.
In that relationship, that coaching relationship before it starts, what do you look for? What's important for you to like, what qualities do you want your coach to have? What's important to you?
He was a former athlete himself. So I quite like that in a way, because, you know, they've been there and they've done that. So, they know what works and what doesn't work. And, and we've just got along really pretty much. He was recommended to me from a previous coach, we've got on well really right from the start. It always seems to work, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it,
And life outside of triathlon, you mentioned work and family. Tell me a little bit about the setup domestically. What's life like outside of triathlon?
Yeah, well, I got four boys, but they're older now, so I don't have the problem of looking after them. And, they're good training partners as well. My oldest son runs, so, I do quite a bit of running with him. So that's quite easy home life. And, and work wise, yeah, I got a 9-to-5 office job. So, again, that's pretty straightforward. It's all a good routine. It's, regular. It's a short commute to the office. So, I can normally get in, good bit of quality training in the morning and in the evening, so that all works well.
So what do the boys think of Dad as an Ironman? Do they think you're a bit crazy, or they're quite into it themselves?
I think they probably, they don't really say much to me there, but they probably think I'm a little bit crazy, especially when I'm going out in the mornings and running and getting back and they're still in bed. they don't say much about it, but they enjoy the odd trip to races and get to travel around a little bit.
I guess that's one of the big perks of having a dad who's into destination Ironman, is you get these exotic holidays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk to me about the balance. I mean, you say your boys are a lot older now, that they don't need much sort of looking after. They can take care of themselves almost, but it hasn't always been like that. I mean, you've been around the sport for a while. balancing work and family, has it been a struggle for you, or has it been has it come pretty easily?
No, it's always been pretty easy, I think. I think that's where I've been quite lucky, really. So, I always manage to find the balance. Like I say, I don't do particularly big volume, and I do most of it in the week before and after work. So the weekends I can normally get my long ride in on a Saturday morning, and then the rest of the day is family time, and again on a Sunday just a long run on the early in the morning, and then that's the whole day. So I don't actually do that much of the weekend, and it's mainly just short and regular stuff in the week, really.
Talk to me about your race in Kona last year. Going to the Big Island, I mean, we hear often from athletes in the UK, the conditions are vastly different to what you're used to. I mean, people can tell you this is what it's like until you're there. Did it come as a bit of a surprise to you, or had you done the work to prepare yourself that you knew what you were in for?
I'd spoke to a lot of people beforehand, so I pretty much knew what to expect. I've raced quite a few hot races before. I did the sort of 70.3s when they were in Vegas, which was extremely hot. And I did Frankfurt again last year, which was really hot. So it was probably hotter than Kona, but just didn't have the humidity. So I know how to deal with it, really. I'm still sort of tinkering with bits and pieces like you always do. But I did a few heat sort of sessions, in the sauna, and treadmills and on the turbo in the garage with the heaters on. And I think that sort of helped. And I went out there 2 weeks before as well. So, that gave me a good chance to adapt and get acclimatized.
Talk to me about race day. How did it pan out on race day?
It was pretty good, really, to be fair. I mean, I'd gone there with no expectations of what I was going to do, because I didn't know really. You sort of hear about the conditions, but you don't actually know at the end of the day how you're going to cope with it. So I went there, and my the whole day was just to be patient and just to go steady and be patient, and that's what I did, really. And it sort of paid dividends, really. And I thought, right, if I can get to the top of Palani, coming down Palani with about a mile to go, and if I still feel good, I can let it go then. And to be fair, there was nothing left in the tank. Being patient was pretty much the right thing to do. So it was just a case of going steady all day and slowing down the least, I think.
What are you most proud of in your sporting sort of achievements so far?
I don't know, really. I think Kona, I mean, I think Kona last year and actually getting a bowl, was pretty special. It was sort of about 4 years in the making, really, because that's what I'd sort of planned on doing and, I wanted to do. So, that was pretty special. But, I mean, my marathon running, I think I'm quite happy with, and, some bike races as well as time trials. I'm pretty pleased with it all, apart from my swimming.
You say apart from the swimming, what is it you're working on at the moment? I mean, you talk about getting those 7 minutes, but you mentioned you're a bit of a tinkerer as well, always trying to improve things. What's the plan for the season? What are you trying to improve? What are you trying to get better at?
Well, again, I'm just constantly working on my swimming. I didn't swim as a child, which really wish I had, because when you see people that do, so I'm not a natural swimmer by any stretch of the imagination. So I go get some coaching and endless pool sessions and video sessions and just sort of working on bits and pieces. And I think I've got to work on sort of stabilization more and some core strength. And I think there's some time to be had there, especially with like Kona, where it's a non-wetsuit swim. I'd probably suffer more there than what I would do with a wetsuit. So there's definitely room for improvement there.
Knowing what you know now, what do you wish you knew when you started?
I don't know, really. I don't. That's a tricky one. I don't know, really. I know now how much fun it is, and I'm grateful for that, and from where it's taken me, and and the joy we've got out of it, the places we've travelled. So, knowing that at the start, you know, that would have been great.
Do you wish you had started younger?
Sometimes I think that'd have been really good, and then other times I think maybe not. I wish I'd swam as a child. You know, but apart from that, no, I think everything takes its turn in your life cycle type of thing, doesn't it? And I think this is my time, and doing a bit of sport, and I will probably move on in a couple of years and do something else. But I think I'd have been burnt out now if I'd have started doing it as a younger age. So I don't regret not doing it earlier. No.
What are the goals for the season? Obviously, London Marathon. What are you chasing? And then I think you said you're going back to Frankfurt this year. What's the plan?
Yeah, London. I'd like to go a little bit quicker than I've been before. I sort of nick a couple of minutes here and there. So if I can get around about sort of 2:30, if I can break 2:35 there, I'll be quite happy. And then Frankfurt would be to go and have a better race than I had last year. I mean, I got third there, but sort of quite suffered on the run. So I'd like to sort that out really and have another good race there, because that's a great race. And see if I can get there, have the race I want, and get another Kona slot, and then see what happens there really.
And I'm guessing, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but as much as you've got a podium now, you want to be on the top step of that podium, don't you?
Yeah, I'm only actually quite short myself, so when I stood on the bottom step, I look really short. So I would like a higher step to stand on next time. Yeah,
higher step and a bigger bowl, is that the plan?
That's why I can't get many bananas in my bowl. Yeah,
I love that. Paul, it's been great catching up. Thank you so much for your time here on the Kona Edge today. Much appreciated. I look forward to talking a little bit about your swim, bike, and run next time out.
Thanks a lot, Brad. Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me on.
And that's it for this edition of the Kona Edge. Thank you very much to Paul Lunn for sharing his journey to the Big Island with us. I hope you enjoyed that. And as I said at the top of the show, if you wouldn't mind sharing this podcast, that's one way you can help us to make this a success. Simply share it with your triathlon groups or friends via social media. It really does help us a lot as well. And don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. We've had a couple since our break. I'll read out a couple tomorrow as well. Make sure that you do tune in then. I'll be chatting to our next guest, someone we spoke to a while ago, Christine Kaczynski, to talk a little bit about her Ironman swim here on the podcast. And that's all coming up tomorrow. From myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.